Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Well, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
Final hour. Fist pump time if you want. We don't have the usual music. I can't watch Jersey Shore anymore. It's so boring. There's no scandal. So, I don't know. I've been thinking about no fist pump for a while now. Maybe we can replace it with something else. No one watches it. It's becoming irrelevant. Like, Peyton can't even name the characters on the show.
The situation, you got Snooki. I watched the whole thing in college.
Dude.
Like, I didn't watch it like when it first came out, but me and my roommates watched all the seasons in college.
Because the original, when they were young, is all-time great. All-time great, scandalous, amazing television.
And now you have the McBees to replace it. That's your new obsession.
Are you watching it?
Yeah. We've been on the America's Team thing, so I haven't been able to watch it the last couple nights. But yeah, I think we're almost done with the first season.
Is Kristen watching America's Team?
She watched it last night. Because I told Kristen, so she remembers growing up in the 90s and like the Cowboys being, so she knew like all those famous people. But I told her, I was like, if you want to sit here and watch it, it's not totally about football. It is a lot about drama and the way people interact with each other. But
and what does she think so far?
She likes it. She likes McBee more. That's what she's obsessed with.
Bravo.
It's just, I hate the dad. I just want to open hand slap that dad.
I know, but he's a cheating, drinking, partying. That's what's amazing about it.
It's so funny when he's like,
he's carried down to all his children don't get married and go cheat and run around.
The first,
it's so scandalous.
The first time the whatever McBee her name is
Dynasty,
Ivanka. What's her name? The chick.
The Russian.
Yeah. What's her name?
I don't know.
I can't remember what her name is.
Yeah.
The first time she's like.
The one he cheated on his wife with.
Yeah, he's like, I feel like you're kind of like just put me in a weird lurch, and they're like, I don't really like that. And then he's like, instead of just be like, yeah, that was crappy of me, then he goes like, that was your one. That's the one time anybody threatens me. And he like flips it around. Very emotionally abusive individual.
Oh, yeah. I think it's amazing television.
It is. It's very fascinating to watch, but that dude's a jerk. Let's talk about somebody who's not a jerk. Let's talk about somebody who's great, who's going to be great. And that's one Arch Manning. So ESPN had a rundown of.
And by the way, Arch came out and said, Grandpa, when he told everyone I am staying in college for two more years, I don't know where he got that. So that's Arch trying to keep the window open for NFL team tank projects, saying this is not an absolute given. I have not decided that I'm going to play this year at Texas then leave.
So ESPN has a rundown up right now. They had a bunch of their different experts, Jordan Reed, Matt Miller, various reporters, basically go out there and, hey, get us the scoop on Arch. Go talk to your scouting contacts. Ask the scouts what they think of Arch. Go talk to your college football coach contacts. Go ask them what they think of Arch as an opposing coach. Go talk to the people at the University of Texas. And they tried to get a fully orbed outlook of how Arch is viewed across the spectrum of everybody who's involved with, you know, college football or the NFL or whatever else. And here's just kind of a summary of some of the stuff that they got out of there. From the scouting perspective, from the NFL evaluator perspective, we'll start with that. They look at They look at Arch as a guy who's just talent is there, clearly raw, and somebody who still has not checked off all the boxes that he needs to. They believe that it's unlikely he is going to declare for 2026, even though Arch said, I don't know where Grandpa's getting that. It says that typically, people cite most frequently, He has size, arm talent, flexible throwing motion. The mobility is really good. That's something that's better than his uncle's. The biggest weakness for him right now, raw processing skills. And that the game is too fast for him at time against elite defenses like Georgia, that he needs to grow in progressions and pocket patience. I'll say that's the thing that scares me the most watching him play is the pocket presence. Because that sack Milton had the other day where he just didn't see the guy coming, Arch will get those on the blind side a lot. And when it comes through, it looks like he's just destroyed because he has no sense somebody's behind him.
Is there even a point to evaluating what he did last year? Like, if you're going to scout him, right? Broadus, Tex, if you're listening, you're going to, or Wolchuk, you're going to scout him. Let's just say he plays this year and comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Would you even turn on last year's tape? What's the point?
Yeah, I mean, I think like to watch, I think for comparison to see how he grew from year to year is one thing, because that helps. A lot of times teams will look at how are you progressing and can we project out more of it? So I think that there's that. But too, I mean, he did like he started, you know, a game last year and I mean, he played in enough of them that I think you can look at certain aspects of him and go, yeah, there's something I can get from that. It's obviously not going to be the top line item if he comes out. You're going to look at what he did this year, but it helps to see how he builds and how he grows on top of those things. From the Texas perspective, basically Steve Sarkisian, they're not going to overhaul the offense from last year with Ewers, but it is going to be tailored a little bit more to what he does. There's going to be some added quarterback run packages in red zone and third down. They like the athleticism aspect. They think he's more versatile than Quinn. Not that he's better than Quinn necessarily, but they think he's more versatile and they can do some different things with him. From the other's perspective, though, from opposing coaches, a lot of what Adam Rittenberg had gotten from talking to various people was that they view him as a very level-headed, very poised player. That's one of the things that stands out to them is they got a lot of respect for how he doesn't seem to be rattled very easily. A lot of talent. But they also, a lot of the coaches recognize there's so much hype around this dude at this point, it's going to be impossible for him to reach it. Like even if he's as good as he can max out, that's not going to be as good as people talk about him. But Mississippi State's Jeff Lebby talked about his composure, his command was really impressive when they played him. A lot of coaches talk about the dual threat ability. The biggest concern, obviously, is when he's seen some of the pressure, some more mistakes increase. Some people wonder if he's a little too lean and that he's going to expose himself to injury, which he does look pretty lean overall.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's a thinner built guy. But the thing that's most concerning to me as I read this as a Texas fan and as somebody who's just a fan of fantastic players and watching them reach their potential and seeing greatness, is the fact that it's the mental processing stuff. Because then if that's the issue, if they're saying, man, he's not there yet, game happens really fast around him, then that's the question we're asking with Joe Milton here. Can that be fixed? Can you get better at that?
Yeah.
Especially coming from a family.
The 95 passing attempts.
I know. But coming from a family that the processing has always been elite. And so it does make me wonder, okay, is he just, it's still coming along, or does he not have that trait that his family does?
Yeah.
Like, he's got the athletic ability that some of them don't have. Does he not have the IQ? As much as we make fun of Eli, and with good reason, Eli was a pretty decent processor. Like, and Peyton was elite at it, and Peyton had a very high IQ. And they talk about one of the things they say, mechanically, they talk about that Arch is really, really clean, and he's clearly a disciplined player who understands the game. It's just how quickly does he see everything?
Yeah, one of the things that, you know, surprised me a little bit in reading a profile on him, it's not like he's been living in a film room with Peyton and Eli. It's really been Cooper, his pops, who's taught him the game. So if you're sitting there as a Texas fan or a college football fan saying, how could he not have processing at the top of his traits list? I didn't look like or sound like he talked to Peyton very often.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a check-in here and there. He might go to the Manning Passing Academy, but he's not sitting there studying film, it doesn't sound like, with Peyton and Eli.
Sometimes I wonder, though, it feels like Arch doesn't want to run from his family or anything else, but I do wonder if he almost is just... We hear the story, Nicolas Cage. We've talked about this, I think. Cage is not his last name. His last name is Coppola. He's Nicolas Coppola. He is the grandson or nephew, one of them, I can't remember, of Francis Ford Coppola, the director of The Godfather.
Oh.
Nicolas Cage did not want to be associated, did not want handouts or anything else, so he went by Cage. He didn't want people to know he was Coppola. So I do kind of wonder at times if Arch tries to downplay some of the aspects of being connected to them, even if privately he maybe does consult them more than he would talk about, because I think he does just want to be viewed as hey, I'm one of the guys. I want to be treated like a normal freshman. Make me carry pads. Make me do all this.
Wolchuk said the tape versus Georgia last year compared to this year would be interesting to judge his growth.
Yeah, obviously seeing how quickly he can process some of the things. Although, I don't know. I mean, they're now trying to, again, wussify everything in college football. And one of the new rules is no late shifts, no aggressive jumps and line stunts, because we don't want you to cause somebody to jump off sides. No faking like you're going to blitz and then stepping up to the line too aggressively. That all is now that you might as well call that the Kirby Smart rule, because Kirby Smart loves doing all that. And so now that's a new rule you can do. You can't also can't, Peyton, how are we going to deal with this as a Texas Tech Red Raider fan yourself? Well, how are you going to deal with the fact that you're not allowed to simulate weapons anymore? Okay, that's the case. How are you guys even supposed to celebrate at Texas Tech? How are you supposed to throw up? How are you supposed to throw up your guns up? How are you supposed to do that?
Yeah, they're not going to be able to catch everyone. The guns will always be up.
Well, I don't know. They said no showing gun. I think that would break a rule. I would try to enforce that.
Where do things stand with horns down, so you guys will get your feelings?
15-yard penalty,
get
Sean.
Get your little feelings
suspended.
Hurt. Where do things stand with that, so you guys don't have to cry?
I've never defended that. That's soft. I think it was soft that the BYU players had to, or the fans had to, like, turn their shirts inside out or whatever for basketball. That's soft. Like, if you want to, if you take away horns down, you're sort of taking away the power of horns up to me. Like if you're telling people like you can't do that, that's part of what makes it powerful is the fact that people want to do that. Yeah, our hand sign is so nobody's turning down Gig'em because this is stupid. A little thumbs up and then say this is ours, Gig'em. Like it's nobody's going like, oh yeah, we scored a touchdown and we go down because it's dopey.
College football kegger here on Sean and Bobby 105.3 The Fan.
All right, Field Yates, who does not like me very much apparently. Field Yates had I'm in his burn book I think. Had a mock draft out yesterday, his all too early mock draft for college football. And he's got all these different names in here that could go number one. A Carson Beck could go number one potentially. Maybe it's a Garrett Nussmeier.
These guys on TV just did like their college football preview. I think Joey Galloway or someone said that the best player in the country is this DB on Ohio State. So we're talking about the receiver. We talked about the
Jeremiah Smith.
Quarterback that was just named. And now some DB.
Look, they're studs at Ohio State. There's no doubt about it. That's why it's going to be so sweet to beat them.
Yeah.
Again, to show. Meanwhile,
as we're watching the Tennessee game because of RJ at the pool party.
Yeah, Choppy's going to have you guys watching Tennessee and Syracuse, which will be, I will say this, it'll be worth it to watch it if Syracuse beats them.
Yeah.
Him melting down, because he hides. He won't watch Tennessee in front of us.
Yep.
When we went out to Twin Peaks that one time and watched college basketball, he's like, all right, I got to leave. Tennessee's going to start playing in 30 minutes. I can't watch that in front of you guys.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, great. So we might put it on. That'd be great if they start losing. Field Yates, though, in his mock draft, number one pick to the Cleveland Browns, and they select Arch Manning, quarterback, Texas. He says, yeah, Archie Manning said he's not going back, but Arch is eligible to declare. If he performs up to his potential, he might have to consider. He might just have to go ahead and make the leap, even if he doesn't want to. You go ahead, you look down the list. They've got some other people in here. Lenore Sellers, the quarterback from South Carolina, goes two. Cade Klubnik, the quarterback from Clemson, goes three. So you got all these different quarterbacks in there. Caleb Downs, who you're just referencing, the safety from Ohio State, goes number five. And you get down to the Dallas Cowboys at number 13. Field Yates has them taking Caleb Banks, defensive tackle, Florida. Now, I don't know Caleb Banks yet. I mean, I've seen him play. I know he was on Florida's defense last year. I've not studied Caleb Banks to this point. I don't know anything about him as a prospect. I'm going to guess the fan text here, and people listening at home, here, defensive tackle from Florida is the number 13 pick, and they go, no!
Well, he didn't play in Michigan, Bobby.
It's not Michigan, but it's a defensive tackle. And it's, nope, Tristan Hill, Mozzie Smith. You're not taking early defensive tackles anymore. We're not playing this. Even a little bit, you want to argue. Now, Oso Odighizuwa in the third round had performed well. But some people probably also say, like, Neville Gallimore was never as good as he should have been. And so defensive tackle, let's try to stay away from that one. But he said, Caleb Banks, he said, the Cowboys enter the 2025 season looking to right some of the wrongs from their forgettable 2024. One big area of concern is the interior defensive line. Their porous run D cannot continue if they want to keep contending in the NFC. Banks could help fix it. He has outstanding size at 6'6" and 330 pounds, but he also displays the quickness and power to be a disruptive interior rusher. He began his career at Louisville, but his best college season came in 2024 when he had 4.5 sacks for the Gators. I can't imagine heading into next year and be like, you know what I want to pick high if I've got a high pick? I want to get a defensive tackle.
I don't want to fall into this trap, though, of staying away from a position or a school because they've repeatedly failed. I think that's
Oh, I get
silly
it.
Reaction.
Yeah, I would still draft somebody from Michigan. Jordan Lewis was good for you. Like, that was fine. But yeah, first round defensive lineman from Michigan, maybe not. Kevin Brooks, 85, busted. You got Taco Charlton, 2017. That's multi-generational busts on the defensive line for Michigan. That's a little tough.
All right, let's talk about last night's Cowboys practice. The cornerback who stood out. Did a wide receiver spot just open up? And what is going on with these corners who one was missing and one may be coming back? Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com, joins us next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. Crosstalk with a KNC Masterpiece is coming up at 9:40 as the guys prep in the dark over there in the conference room. Right now it's time for Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly.
And Tommy also noted for saying that I'm funnier than Choppy, which I think is valuable to know.
You know, Bobby, it doesn't count that much in my mind when you are at practice every day with Tommy and you force your cell phone and all your memes and all your videos. And
are you saying I forced myself on Tommy?
You force yourself on Tommy. You force your cell phone on everybody. So it's like he doesn't have the same time with Choppy to appreciate the humor. So,
well, luckily Choppy's back tomorrow at 7:20. We can hear Choppy return tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a tease. Good morning, Tommy Yarsh. How are you?
I'm doing great, fellas. Thanks. Look, Bobby never forces his memes and his hilarity on me. It's always welcome because it's always good content. So,
that's right, Tommy.
And Sean, if you've got memes...
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Men, are you ready to feel unstoppable again? Join me at Men's T Clinic to become stronger than ever with the experts on men's health. Men's T Clinic's dedicated optimization tools are designed to help you meet, maintain, and elevate your total wellness goals across key areas of men's wellness, like hormones, weight, muscle mass, movement, and sexual wellness. It's individualized and comprehensive total wellness through Men's T Clinic's method, and it's yours for the taking today. 5 DFW locations, flexible hours, and affordable plans. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
And stuff like that, I'm all for it. So just start sending them my way.
I'm not selling myself to you after you put me in fourth place. I'm not buttering up to Tommy Yarsh to prove my comedy.
Yeah, if you want to move up the rankings, that's how you do it. I'm just trying to help you out here.
You know what? If you needle me anymore, I'm going to tell people on the radio the stuff you and Bobby are laughing at, and then you'll move me up real quick. So there's my blackmail, which I'm admitting to publicly because I see all the same things.
All right, Sean is number one now.
Tommy, give us a little recap of practice last night in Frisco.
final training camp practice for the Cowboys. They got back out in front of the home crowd, if you will, here. The highlights for me were Joe Milton's big play. He kind of rolled out to his left and didn't really set his feet, but he didn't need to because he just hucked it 60 yards to Jalen Brooks. Was right on the money. Brooks did a good job beating out contested coverage to go up and get it. And we were kind of talking with Milton after practice, and somebody asked him about that throw. He was like, "Yeah, no, I kind of babied it." And I was like, "That's babying it?" And he goes, "Yeah." And he's really being completely serious. He's like, "Yeah, that was." I'm like, okay. Well, so now it's just a matter of, you know, we know Joe Milton can make those throws and hit the big play, but what about everything else in between, right? Is that going to be something that he can evolve and grow his game to be able to do? That'll be the big question. And then CeeDee Lamb's one-handed grab in the end zone. Obviously, you know, CeeDee Lamb is going to be CeeDee Lamb and do CeeDee Lamb things. Might have gotten away with a little bit of a push-off, but I feel like that was an appropriate way to end camp for CeeDee, who, you know, obviously he's one of the best players on this team, but it just feels like he's had a great Oxnard camp because, you know, you think about the fact that he didn't go last year, so he wasn't on the same page with Dak to start the year. Well, now you've got that out of the way, and you add in a George Pickens, and, you know, the Cowboys are certainly hoping that that reflects in how their offense starts the year.
Let's talk about the corners. Deron Bland was not there. You wrote some positives about Kaiir Elam's practice, and then Trayvon Diggs on his YouTube is talking about a week two or three return. So just knock out those three for us.
Sure, I'll start with Bland. Yeah, we didn't get any sort of reason why Deron Bland didn't practice yesterday. Might be a maintenance thing, you know, just kind of keeping him fresh and not necessarily needing him to do anything more. So we'll figure something out on that and see if we can hear anything on that. Kaiir Elam, yeah, excuse me, another really good practice yesterday. This is a guy who I don't think the Cowboys expected to see even this good from him when they traded for him. I think he's completely exceeded expectations, and they couldn't have asked for that because of, you know, who you mentioned, Trayvon Diggs there. If he's targeting week two or week three, that means Kaiir Elam is going to play a really big role on the outside for the first 2 weeks of the season. And then probably even still beyond that, when Diggs comes back, they'll probably keep him outside and move Deron Bland to the inside. That would be my guess as to what they do there, unless they really like a Zion Childress or Keamon Hall at that nickel corner spot. So yeah, Kaiir Elam, a couple PBUs yesterday, had an interception on a free play. And then Diggs, you know, week two, week three, I feel like just watching him and how he moves, I think that looks accurate. I'm no medical expert, so I'm not sure how close he really is. But the sooner the better for the Cowboys to get Trayvon Diggs back.
Tommy, you mentioned the nickel spot there. Week one against Philadelphia, they come out in nickel defense. Who's there inside?
I really think Zion Childress has done a good job and earned his way to this team. So I'll go with Zion Childress. I think, you know, they want that game. You probably want Bland on the outside if possible, just because behind the two of them, and Kaiir Elam and Deron Bland is who I mean by them. You know, you're probably looking at a Andrew Booth or Israel McQuamu maybe, but he's been playing more safety, or Troy Pride or something like that. So, you know, I think I would be more confident with those two on the outside. And then a guy like Childress in the slot, you know, this is a guy who, Bobby, I know I don't remember if we talked about him too much on the draft show, but he just fires the ball so quickly in the run game. He can cover sideline to sideline in terms of, you know, the middle of the field is so important for those slot corners. I think he can hang there, you know, maybe not all the time, but I think he can hang there and be a solid player for you. You know, maybe it's not something that he does for the entirety of the season, but if we're talking week one, I think he's earned his role and earned a chance to do that.
Brian Schottenheimer said yesterday that Micah Parsons, he expects him to be out there week one. And that obviously would sound like it's just regardless of contract situation, Shotty thinks he's going to be out there. Are you of the same opinion? Do you think, look, regardless of what happens here, Micah Parsons will be out there playing that first game?
I do, Bobby. I do, because, you know, if we look at this whole situation, right, and you look at, you know, what the goal is for Micah Parsons, and that's to make as much money as he can, and rightfully so. He's deserving of every penny that he's going to get because of how well he's played. But I think, you know, if if he's going to hold in, right, and not hold out at training camp and incur the financial ramifications that come with that, then I find it very difficult to see him missing game checks and see him missing that kind of money, especially because he's getting, you know, a bigger bump this year going into his fifth year option. So I think he is out there with or without a deal, just because I don't think he's missing game checks. Now, the question when he's out there is, okay, how much does he play? Yeah. You know, if he hasn't practiced or if he hasn't done anything, then regardless of who you are, regardless if you're an all-pro or not, you know, you got to get your legs back under you, and you've got to feel the contact. You've got to physically get yourself back into the game. And sure, Brian Schottenheimer says, hey, Michael Parsons is doing everything we need him to do. You know, he's working with the strength and conditioning staff, and that's all well and good, but nothing is going to be able to simulate the physicality of an NFL game, especially against a team like the Eagles, who are so good up front. And, you know, it might limit what you can see from Micah Parsons and how much you're going to see from Micah Parsons. But at the end of the day, I think the track record has shown us, based on what's important to Micah Parsons, that he will play week one.
Or what if he doesn't play because of the back and still collects his game check while showing up?
I guess that is another way to look at it, and I don't know how the ins and outs of that work. If, you know, if it's a Micah says my back hurts and someone says no, that's not it. But yeah, I don't know, but that seems like it could be a possibility too. I just, you know, just watching him, it just looks like he's antsy to go out and play.
Yeah,
and everything that we've gathered about Micah Parsons, this guy just loves playing football. And I can bet you that it's really hurting him not being out there right now and not running around and being with his teammates, because he just loves to play football, and he always has. And, you know, I think the opportunity to do that, especially going back up to Pennsylvania and in Philadelphia, I think he's going to be out there.
Tommy Arsch from DallasCowboys.com joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Tommy, there keeps being this building sense from Schottenheimer and Stephen Jones and others, it sounds like, that Tyler Guyton is checking all these boxes and hitting these marks quicker than they would have even expected. Is there a realistic shot that he's going to get ready and be ready by week one? Or is it just they're saying, hey, he's ahead of schedule, we may just only have to go like a game without him?
No, I think that there definitely is optimism for Tyler Guyton week one. You know, at the start point of his injury recovery, I think that was the optimistic view, right? And that's the view that you say, okay, if everything goes perfect, then he'll be good week one. But I really do think Tyler Guyton is progressing very well, and that certainly is a possibility, and it's not something to rule out whatsoever. Just talking to some folks around here, one of the biggest compliments that you hear about Tyler Guyton is, man, he has matured so much from last year in terms of how he approaches the overall, really everything that he does, how he's approached practice, and, you know, in this scenario, how he's approached his rehab. He's much more mature about it. He's, you know, doing everything that he can, everything possible to get back as quickly as he can and staying extra, doing extra things to be able to advance as quickly as he can towards being able to play. And I think that's been reflected sometimes in the play that we saw during camp. I think he, you know, like everybody, had some good days, had some bad days, and there's still going to be some growth for him, but he has taken the next step from a maturity standpoint. And I think that is something that a lot of people in the building really wanted to see from him. And they've been very pleased with the fact that he has stepped in the right direction there.
Have you watched all of The Gambler?
I've not watched all of it. I think I'm on episode 5, and of course I've got to restart it now because my girlfriend wants to watch it. So we
you
got through like half of. So we got, yeah. Well, we and I'll watch it later.
Why didn't she watch it with you originally?
Why didn't she watch it with me originally?
Yeah.
Well, I was in Oxnard, and she was back in Texas, so there was no real way to.
Oh, you
no
got the early access then.
Woo.
Yeah, I told you guys on the show that I'd watch the first 3 episodes.
Okay.
She's got to catch up.
And what are your what are your top highlights or lowlights so far through 4 episodes?
I think the back and forth between the 49ers game in the NFC Championship game. I think it was episode 3 where it just kind of bounced around the timelines. I thought that was just incredible, really. I thought that was really well done. I just got to the part where it's the owners' meetings, or league meetings, rather.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they're talking about Jerry and Jimmy and the tension and getting to that point, getting to that climax of, you know, Jerry Jones firing Jimmy Johnson. I thought the build up to that was really good. Now I just got to see the other side of it. But, you know, you got to tip your cap to the Way brothers. I know you guys had McClain on the other day. They did a fantastic job telling the story.
Yeah. Good stuff, Tommy. We appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week. Enjoy the game tomorrow night.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Bye, Tommy. Got a great meme for you tomorrow.
Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com. Brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Speaking of tomorrow and Bobby forcing his cell phone on people, John Machota will be joining us tomorrow in studio from 8 to 10. So we'll bring him in, and I'll bring up the same point. How much do you have to watch Bobby's phone and look at everything on there every second of every practice?
He also loves when I force myself on him. He loves it. He talks about how much he thinks it's funny.
So we'll see.
He knows.
We'll see when I'm talking you will to him about see. It.
You will.
Crosstalk with a KNC masterpiece is next. Let's not carry over any of that to crosstalk from the commercial break.
Sean hates Paramore.
Okay. I don't think he meant that part.
Oh. Sean and RJ along with the KNC masterpiece, 105.3 The Fan.
All right. So Cowboys start the season in two.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well, everything.
From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Men, are you ready to feel unstoppable again? Join me at Men's T Clinic to become stronger than ever with the experts on men's health. Men's T Clinic's dedicated optimization tools are designed to help you meet, maintain, and elevate your total wellness goals across key areas of men's wellness like hormones, weight, muscle mass, movement, and sexual wellness. It's individualized and comprehensive total wellness through Men's T Clinic's method, and it's yours for the taking today. 5 DFW locations, flexible hours, and affordable plans. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAF Giving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
2 weeks. On that Friday, the Cowboys have won the game. Stay with me. And Saquon Barkley runs the ball 20 times for 100 yards and a touchdown. Can I say all show long that the Cowboys shut Saquon Barkley down if on the first carry of the game he ran 85 yards for a touchdown, but then the rest of the game he had a total of 19 carries for 15 yards? Or do I have to add the qualifier every single time outside of that first run they shut him down?
Yeah, I think you can just say they shut him down almost the entire night, is what I would say, or something like that. Okay. Like, they shut him down almost the whole game. I would say that.
Qualifier.
Okay. I can't just say they shut him down.
No.
That is shutting him down, though.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, he had an 80-yard run.
One?
But a one effective run out of 20.
But for anyone maybe who's not watching it, looks at a box score, they might judge you negatively.
And I will judge them negatively.
We don't speak to those people. All right? We don't talk to them.
Well, if you're listening and you're one of those people, please keep listening.
What do you think, Corey?
I already talked to those people at 7:45 this morning.
How do you have to say it?
Oh, man.
You have no idea what we're talking about.
What was the question?
He says you have to say the qualifier.
It's the chair, Sean. You're right.
You do not.
You know what, Sean? My fridge has been out for like a year now, all right?
Oh, no.
The ice machine won't make any ice. The water thing isn't working. The bottom freezer thing broke. And it's $650 to replace it. My wife's like, which card do you want to put it on? I'm like, none. I don't want to put it on a card. I just want to have hot food from now on.
This is the main fridge?
Yeah.
But this
the one in the garage is fantastic. And it's
but you told me to swap them. So why have you not done the same thing? It's not so easy, is it, just to put the fridge on your back or get your little device thing with the wheels and
I thought you were bench pressing the fridge right there.
I love everyone's like, just swap them. I'm like, ow.
You're Sean Tree.
Why did I just think of that?
Like, you have morning show money.
Let me just ram this through the walls of the house and then get it over the ledge of the step and pick it up myself. Why did I just swap the fridges?
My favorite part is that Corey just talked about that refrigerator like it was like his like mom just died or something. Where he's like, hey, you don't know. I've been dealing with a lot, buddy. Yeah. My fridge is out. Yeah. So I'm sorry I didn't hear the content of the show.
So what, you moved everything from the kitchen fridge to the freezer?
The fridge part works. The freezer doesn't. And the ice maker doesn't. And then also the craft ice maker, you know, with the ball.
Oh, yeah.
I love the ball.
So you got an LG
fanciest
fridge?
Discussion yeah. I've ever
it was,
heard.
It was a terrible decision. Her parents have the same fridge. It's been busted 3 times.
Oh,
we should have known better.
I know.
So the craft never listen to her again. On your second fridge doesn't work.
A third fridge.
Yeah, I got this fridge too for these Kraft ice cubes. Ooh. They only give you 2 a day.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's tough.
2 a day, and
that's
it's
tough. I think people talking about inflation and unemployment.
No, I'm saying it's
here's
a stupid
the real issue.
I'm saying it was a stupid decision in purchase, and I think that brand is known for awful fridges.
That's what we're learning right now. And so
how long have you had it?
So this is we've had it since we moved in, so 3 years.
Oh
yeah.
And already?
Already like that. And it had a 2-year warranty. So that was it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Fast. Everything,
Sunday, my air conditioner goes out. On time experts, heroes, amazing. Thank you. But I don't have a fridge guy.
So did you get it dissected?
She's
like, you know.
Yeah, she said
we
only have to pay $300 today. We can pay the rest off. It's awesome.
Oh, but it's still $600.
Still $650, yeah. Yeah. So
you put all the freezer stuff in the other one?
In the other one, yeah. Until, I guess, after today. But I've heard this thing goes out all the time. So if it happens again, getting rid of it. Getting a new fridge, Sean.
Everyone told me Facebook Marketplace. So if you have a truck, head on over. Throw a $200 one right in the back. Yeah. First world problems.
Anyway,
you're wrong about
it. What was the question?
Saquon, do you have to say?
What do you mean I'm wrong? I just asked the question.
No, your opinion's
wrong.
That's correct. I think that you didn't stop him. You have to say, aside from that first run, you contained him.
I said the qualifier.
19 of his 20 runs were in effect.
I think saying you shut him down almost the entire night is enough.
Okay.
Almost the entire night? Okay.
Yeah, because one, he broke away. But I mean, we also don't just go like, we don't put the qualifier down of like, man, you shut this team down last night, but they hit a home run in the ninth inning. Like you just basically say you shut them down.
Thing. He ended up with 100 yards.
Because of one run. It's just one. Doesn't count.
Anyway,
this is why we don't talk ball enough. we need you to know ball more.
We start things off. We start things off with Rangers discussion and a little bit of Bruce Bochy discussion as well. Mickey at 10:20. Jared will join us at 10:40 and Babe Laufenberg at 11. And then we're done at 12:30 today, gentlemen. We turn things over to the Texas Rangers for Rangers baseball.
Yeah, I hope your fridge part breaks.
Oh, man. I didn't make the schedule.
Hey, I'm going to bring so much stuff and put it in your freezer whenever I come out there. I'm going to just be like, here, shove this in there.
Yes.
Oh, there you go, Alec. All right, real quick. Just going back to the 20 carries for 100 yards. Would you feel better about the Cowboys defense if they gave up an 85-yard run or if the longest run they gave up all night was 6 yards? So they literally, Barkley was getting 4, 5, 6 all night every single time he touched the ball.
85.
You'd rather have the 85? Yeah. I would too. I was just curious.
Because they're not moving the ball in the other way.
Yeah.
But
if
you're getting 4, 5, and 6, you're going to chunk that. You're going to knock
that. Yeah, you've made a one-dimensional after that, you know, from there on. And you don't even have to worry about the runner. You've done such a good job at it. You've made a one-dimensional, and I think that's when you're at your best.
All right, let's keep fighting because Bobby went and found a list that Kevin Hegland is going to absolutely love.
Oh, no.
No, you're going to love it.
Oh, great. I just assumed you were going to say hate.
The Ringer did a collection. They did a bracket where they took 16 of the best. Actually, it was more than that. It was 32 of the best teams in. Actually, I got to screw it up again. No, it was 32. Lord, 32 of the best teams.
Is this the RJ AI that you're doing?
No. What do you mean? I don't understand.
It's the RJ segment because he's starting off messing it up.
RJ's joining us tomorrow. 32 spots. The Ringer took the 32 best NFL teams of the last quarter century and put them in a bracket and made the bracket play out. And they had fans vote on it every round of which team would win in a matchup between these teams. So, like, for instance, the number one seeds you had were the 2019 Chiefs, the 2007 Patriots, the 2013 Seahawks, and the 2024 Eagles. So those were the number one seeds.
What do you think about the last year's Eagles being that high? You think
I think last year's I don't know if I would have them as a one seed. They were really good last year. Yeah. They didn't have many holes. And they had Kellen Moore. So you take this and you winnow it down. All the number one seeds made the final four. And then the championship game was the 2007 Patriots and the 2013 Eagles.
Oh, no.
Or 2013 Seahawks.
Are you okay?
And it was, yes, I am. And it was the fans voting for the 2013 Seahawks as the best team. But see, you said
fans voted?
Yeah, fans voted for this.
Okay. Automatically I can disqualify.
But here's the thing.
Hold on. I didn't even participate in this. Why am I getting drug into this?
Because you believe this.
You believe it.
You believe the 2007 Giants were better. You believe the 2011 Giants
won the title. I said they beat them.
But you said if you win the Super Bowl, you naturally have a better case for being the best team.
Just in that particular game. I just said you won. The only thing that I said, and I feel like my opinion has been twisted on this.
Firehouse Tour, I remember.
I don't think you can be the best team of the past 25 years. I'm not saying one of the best. You can't be number one to me if you didn't even win your title.
Well,
I don't think that's crazy.
It's nuts.
Fans voting on that, they hate the Patriots.
They do, but I mean, they got them all the way to the title.
Yeah, just to break their heart again.
Now, here's the thing is that I feel like a lot of people hated those Legion of Boom Seahawks, though, too.
Yeah,
The thing is
that Richard Sherman thing with Aaron Andrews, like, that turned into a huge deal.
Oh, yeah.
The 2007 Patriots, to me, if it's a single elimination, I don't think you can say losing... You're eliminated from the discussion. If it's a best of seven series, NBA teams, I don't think you can say you're the best without either winning or getting there. And just you were even getting there, though. If you lost a best of seven series, you can't say it. It's single elimination. Weird things happen. Like, I don't know how you can just automatically say that they wouldn't be the best.
Well, I mean, because they lost to one of the worst Super Bowl champions of the past 25 years.
On a fluke. It was a fluke, Kevin.
Yeah. Okay. Lots of games.
Well, if they're so freaking good, why were they even in that situation?
5 months wasn't good enough. Five months of perfection.
Yes, because the most important game, they choked. Look at that Seahawks team. They went up against the greatest offensive performing quarterback season we had ever seen, and they put their ass in the ground.
It's very good, and it was not the best performance we'd ever seen. It was Brady in 2007. But
who had more touchdowns?
Did the Cowboys shut down Saquon Barkley when he went for 20 and 100, Kevin?
Yes.
Yeah, they did. Exactly. Even though the one run, right?
Peyton Manning, what do you mean?
They let up 185-yard run. It wasn't even an 85-yard run. That's what the Patriots did. They let up 185-yard run, and they stopped
the whole
15 the rest of the time.
They lost to a team that barely made the playoffs. I know that David Tyree catch was fluky as hell. But like,
and I think they barely beat him in the last regular season.
Exactly. You struggled against this team that was fine. The Seattle Seahawks murdered, death killed an all-time great quarterback and offense.
So the Giants were that Giants team was better than that Cowboys team they beat in 2007? That the Cowboys had already beat them twice pretty easily.
That is a heartbreaking thing to talk about because
is it true though?
I don't know because you did lose to them when it was on the line.
But they won the other two. They beat them. Probably 9 out of the 12 quarters they played that year.
Yes, but my point is, I'm not talking about either one of those teams as being all-time great. If you want to say that Cowboys team was better, I can accept that because they're down the list in like the 40s or the 50s. I do not accept that a team that didn't even win a championship is the greatest of the last 25 years. That's crazy.
Two of the greatest football teams I've ever seen did not win the Super Bowl. The 98 Vikings and the 07 Patriots.
How come nobody talks about the 98 Vikings as being an all-time great team?
Because I think a lot of people thought that that was an all-time great offense, not an all-time great team. But I think it was an all-time great team. I think the 06 Chargers were one of the greatest teams I've ever seen. And they may not have won a playoff game. If they did, they lost in the AFC title.
This is pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm. You could just watch them go back and
remember
forth.
Remember a G-bag right now. I just don't have to talk. I'm getting paid.
they have been so good in crosstalk.
Don't draw. We got to be friends with both of you guys. Y'all are trying to draw some sides.
I'm good with them right now. I'm the two-time got you down G-bag today champion. So it's two.
Impressive, man.
Oh, I think it. Pepe, cue it up. I think Peyton Russell's about to knock you out.
No, he's not.
Did you hear that Peyton and Los Hombres, his buddies, got John Rocker to do their random?
I would vote for this too. To
randomize their NFL fantasy draft order on Cameo.
What's up, kids? John Rocker here, coming to you from Cameo at the request of your commish to select your upcoming fantasy football draft order. All right. So let's get the f***ing choosing this shit. The Redskins going first because you hate that stupid ass Garner. Call now. I was watching the game last night too. Anyway, the Commanders, stupid ass name. Sit back, the Redskins, and hopefully Trump does that deal with them to get them over to the stadium in return for returning the name to the Redskins. Actually, quick aside here.
Oh no!
I was playing Pinehurst like 4 or 5 years ago with the chief of the Cherokee Nation.
Oh no!
One of my buddies is on the tribal council up there. Yeah, about a dozen members of the tribal council, including the chief and the vice chief. To a man, every one of them was like, "We don't give a about the Redskins, the Indians. We can give a less about it." All of them. The chief of the Cherokee Nation.
Drink.
About that. Exact
Is
words.
He still on the first team?
Liberals. Anyway,
damn liberals.
Over.
Oh my God.
Ditka's stash.
Hang on, stop it. Pick it up at damn liberals real quick in case people didn't hear it. I got to make sure.
Holy crap.
Give a f- about that. Exact words. God, liberals. Anyway, my rant's over.
No chance it is.
Ditka's stash. Going two. Big Ditka fan here. In Jigba in Paris. We're going to be careful saying that name of a certain company.
How long is this cameo? You got a great value on this, I guess.
Hit the button.
Men, are you ready to feel unstoppable again? Join me at Men's T Clinic to become stronger than ever with the experts on men's health. Men's T Clinic's dedicated optimization tools are designed to help you meet, maintain, and elevate your total wellness goals across key areas of men's wellness like hormones, weight, muscle mass, movement, and sexual wellness. It's individualized and comprehensive total wellness through Men's T Clinic's method, and it's yours for the taking today. 5 DFW locations, flexible hours, and affordable plans. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.